Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Q3 FY 2023 earnings conference call of Gravita India Limited, hosted by Emkay Global Financial Services. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions at the end of today's presentation. Should you need assistance during the conference, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Sabri Hazarika from Emkay Global. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks, Dorian. So good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of Emkay Global, I welcome you all to the Q3 FY 2023 post-earnings conference call of Gravita India Limited. We are pleased to have the senior management led by Mr. Yogesh Malhotra, CEO, Mr. Vijay Parikh, Executive Director, Mr. Naveen Sharma, Executive Director, and Mr. Sunil Kansal, CFO. So today's session will be a brief on the company results and outlook by the management, and then we'll move to the question and answer round. So without any further delay, now I request Mr. Malhotra for the opening comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Sabri. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to our Q3 earnings call. I believe you have read the earnings presentation and press release that was uploaded on the exchanges. I will now briefly discuss the results before opening the floor for questions. I'm delighted to report that Gravita India delivered outstanding results for Q3 and nine-month financial year 2023. Before we continue with the results, let's discuss some strategic highlights and project updates. A step-down subsidiary of the company, located in Togo, West Africa, began commercial production of aluminum cast alloys from a recycling plant, having an annual capacity of about 4,000 metric tons per annum during phase one. The company anticipates that the expanded capacity would provide an additional revenue of about rupees 60 crores per annum, with a gross margin of approximately 26%. The group has invested around rupees 11 crores on the procurement and commissioning of the new recycling plant, which is funded by the company's internal accruals. Gravita spent rupees 88 crore on CapEx in the nine months for financial year 2023. CapEx is anticipated to be about 20 crores for the remainder of the year. CapEx is being done to expand the existing as well as establish new capacities. Let's now discuss the operational performance. In nine months, financial year 2023, Gravita boosted its capacity to 228,000 metric tons per annum. We are certain that by 2026, we will attain a total capacity of 425,000 metric tons per annum, encompassing all our existing and future verticals. The company has witnessed a volume growth of about 34% in Q3 financial year 2023 on a year-on-year basis. Lead volume increased by 33%, and aluminum grew by 83% on a year-on-year basis. In Q3 financial year 2023, EBITDA per metric ton for lead and aluminum stood at 17,000 rupees per ton, and for plastic at approximately 9,500 rupees per ton. Domestic scrap collection for Indian plant witnessed a jump of 12% in Q3 financial year 2023 versus Q2 financial year 2023. We believe that redefining of battery waste management rules, extended producers' responsibility, and stricter implementation of GST have boosted and will continue to enhance scrap availability for the former recycling industry in India. Coming to Q3 financial year 2023 financial results, consolidated revenue for the quarter was reported at rupees 789 crores, which was up by 42% on a year-on-year basis. This rise in revenue can be attributed to a 34%+ increase in sales volume. Revenue from value-added products stayed strong at 45%. On a year-on-year basis, adjusted EBITDA increased by 31% to rupees 71 crores. EBITDA margins stood at 9%, and the company continued to maintain strong margins despite rising costs in major raw materials throughout the quarter. Gravita reported a strong consolidated PAT of rupees 50 crore with a 28% growth year-on-year. Out of this, around 65% of profit is from overseas business. PAT margins also stood strong at about 6.4%. Coming to 9 months financial year 23 financial results, consolidated revenue increased by 32% from rupees 1549 crores to rupees 2052 crores. Adjusted EBITDA for 9 months financial year 23 stood at rupees 201 crore, up 41% on a year-on-year basis. And consolidated PAT increased by over 40% to rupees 137 crores. Thank you very much. And now I would like to open the floor for questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Keshav from Raksan Investors. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, good afternoon. Congrats for a great quarter, sir. Sir, recently I was reading that a US-based recycling technology company, which claims to have an efficient and emission-free process, is setting up huge lead and lithium ion capacities in India. And they have a very large facility planned in Mundra itself that will come up in 2024-25. So do you see a raw material sourcing risk going forward?
Actually, as we have mentioned that in India, there is a shift taking place from informal to formal sector, and the overall capacities available for organized players is much more than the total capacities available currently. So we don't believe that there is going to be any shortage of raw material, even if all the stakeholders currently who are there in this business increase their capacities. But it will take time for anybody to start building capacities. This is one factor. The other factor is existing relationship with the OEMs that we enjoy currently and our pan-India presence, because you cannot set up one plant in one location and then we've been saying this, that in this scrap business, you need to have multiple location, plant at multiple location and operations at multiple location if you want to enjoy benefits in terms of reduced logistic cost and service to the customer. So of course, I mean, there would be competitors coming in for it's an open market, and we have so far stayed relevant because of our model, and we will continue to stay relevant. Thank you.
Great, sir. And sorry, secondly, lastly, of the two businesses, India and ex-India business, would it be possible to give the ROCs which we enjoy in the ex-India bit?
Yes, actually, the current ROCs, we've been saying that the current EBITDA margins as well as ROC is sustainable. If anything, because the model of Indian business is shifting towards tooling business, where working capital requirement is either zero or very less, so that ROC from Indian business would continue to be better from the current levels. In any case, we have a target of, wherever we are going in new businesses, we have a target of at least 25% ROC. So we don't think that the ROC would come down to anything less than 25% anytime in the near future.
Sure, sir. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. We have the next question from Fidelity Ventures. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
Astonished with your performance, sir. Q3 performance.
Thank you.
Okay, I have three questions, sir. First question is, what are the steps have been taken to grab the EV trend and the lithium recycling market? And second one is, what is the total quantum of amount that is proposed in rubber, copper, paper, e-waste and lithium and aluminium recycling? That is a capex for next 2 to 3 years, total quantum I am just talking. And third one is 5 years earning, that is top line and bottom line, that you have already mentioned in your annual report, that is the revenue CAGR would be 25% and profitability would be 35% and ROCE would be 25%. Could you please reconfirm it, the three with the updated numbers? Thank you, sir. That's all.
Yeah, thank you very much. So, I mean, for lithium-ion batteries recycling, we believe that for the volume of scrap to start coming to the market, it will take around 5 to 7 years from now. Whatever products are coming today, the scrap from those, whether it is EVs or scooters, etc., EV scooters, etc., the scrap from those would start coming into the market around 5 to 7 years from now. So we are already tying up with some technology company to set up a pilot project of lithium ion batteries in India at our Mundra location. And we'll see how things work out from there on. In terms of total capex, we are planning to do a capex of around 80 crores year on year for our existing verticals for the next 3 years, and around 200 to 250 crores for the new verticals, which include lithium ion, copper, steel, paper, etc. That again in the next 3 years. So that is the capacity expansion. And yes, our target is to grow at around 35%. In volume terms, not in revenue numbers, but in volume terms on a year-on-year basis in the next 3 years, 25%, sorry, and the profitability would increase to around 35% on a year-on-year basis. Is that okay?
Nothing, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rahul Bangaria from Lucky Investment Managers. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you for taking my question, sir. Congratulations on a great set of numbers.
Thank you.
Two, three things here, sir. In this quarter, we had gross margin of about 18%. Generally, our range has been of the order of anywhere between 20 to 22%. Anything that we should read into this, or there's a specific things out here in the quarter?
Yeah. So, Rahul, the gross margin is dependent on the sale price also. So, sometimes when the metal prices are higher, so then the gross margin is reduced. So we, on a profitability terms, we focus on the pattern EBITDA, which is very stable in our case. Like we focus on lead in the range of 16 to 17 rupees per ton. And in case of aluminium, because it's more business in outside India, so it is approximately 18 rupees per kg. And in case of plastic, it is 10 rupees per kg. So we are very close to these numbers. So we focus on these numbers. The percentage gross margin is also dependent on the business from overseas or business from India. So the slightly when the Indian business is higher, so then this number is also lower. But overall basis, we focus on these EBITDA per ton numbers.
Yes, yes. So you have always emphasized that it's an EBITDA per ton that you focus on. So I just wanted to confirm that it's just basically the pricing at the revenue level that makes the gross margin go up or down in this.
Correct.
Okay. So the second question I had is, now this year on an overall basis, including the three verticals that we report right now, lead, aluminium, plastic, you'll probably do about 1.5, 1.6 lakh tons of volumes this year. We've already done about 1.15. We'll probably close 1.6. What do you think will be the volumes next year? You have given a 25% guidance, but I just wanted to understand what will lead it. Will it be lead driven again, or will it be kind of driven by aluminium, plastic, and maybe some of the other new verticals?
So lead would continue to grow because we have added some capacities in lead, and we are also in process of adding certain more capacities in Mundra and Chittoor for lead. So it will continue to grow. But of course, as you've seen, that aluminium has started growing much faster than the lead. And going forward, we believe that the plastic would also grow at a similar numbers. So the overall, if you see, the growth from lead would be around 15% to 20%, but the overall growth would be around 25%, which means that the overall contribution from lead will come down to around 75% in the next year.
In FY24, that is?
In 24, yes.
So when do we expect the new verticals, like let's say copper, rubber, or how, when do we expect that to contribute meaningfully to either volumes or the numbers?
Yeah, so in lithium, as I mentioned, that we are not in a hurry. We want to first have a good technical partner, a technology partner with us, because we still believe there is still time. So it will probably take some time, maybe in the later half next year or maybe a year later also.
No, sir, I was talking about the other, maybe you were talking about rubber, copper, that side.
Yeah, so rubber, in any case, we have started, putting up plants, but that is mainly for our internal requirements initially. Once we've done that, in the second phase, we would start selling it externally also, the products.
Okay.
And we are doing our feasibility study for paper plant, and it's almost final now. Mm. So probably we'll start the process in the first quarter of next year. But it will take, because it's a huge plant, so it will take around one and a half year to establish that plant, the first plant. So again, it will come in probably 24-25 financial year.
So in case of copper also, we have decided to start a pilot project in Senegal to start with, and once it is successful, then we start replicating. So that the Senegal plant should start somewhere around 7 to 8 months from now. So after that, we'll start replicating that to other locations also.
So essentially, FY24 will still be led by the three existing verticals, with aluminium and plastic growing faster than lead, essentially.
And to some extent, maybe rubber would start.
To some extent. So 25% would roughly mean about 2 lakh tons of volumes next year, 24.
Yes.
All put together, I'm saying.
Yes.
And so the final question before I come back, you have mentioned your target of, you know, getting the working capital down to, you know, 65 days by March 26. You know, there is a, you know, the working capital and the balance sheet situation keeps fluctuating every quarter. So are we on track for that, or do you still think, you know, 65 days is what you... Where do you think we'll start seeing this trend moving towards 65?
Yeah, so current working capital cycle is approximately 80 days. Definitely, we look for bring it down to 65 days in next 2 years. The major driver will be the more sourcing from the domestic market. So we are continuously driving the growth. In this quarter also, we have grown domestic sourcing by 12%. So we are focused on... There are certain times when the Indian market is more favorable and we source from international market and bring it to India. So that time the working capital cycle is more. But it is also dependent on, working capital also dependent on the metal prices. So this time it was higher, metal prices were higher, so the working capital requirement was more. But on an average basis, we focus it to be around 65 days in next 2 years, definitely.
Sure, sir. Thank you very much for answering those questions. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Romil Jain from Electrum PMS. Please go ahead.
Hello. Sir, you can hear me, sir?
Yes, please, Romil. Please.
Sir, first of all, congrats for a good set of numbers. I wish a happy year to the whole team. So first question is the incremental capacities that will come up in the next 2-3 years, about 2 lakh tons. Can you just give some more information on color about where will maximum capacity come? Is it lead or is it aluminium or plastic? That is one question, and maybe bifurcation of the capex cost as well.
So some of the capacities have already been installed. If you look at the Senegal aluminium and Togo aluminium, have just come up in December itself. We will start giving full results from this quarter onwards, and some of the capacities that we are planning to bring is Chittoor and Ghana lead, and also aluminium Ghana,
Okay.
So for the overall capacity increase in the next 3 years from current 228,000 metric ton, we are planning to reach to around 425,000 metric ton. This include capacities for paper recycling also.
Okay. Paper is also included.
Yeah, paper is also included in this 425.
Sir, what would be the CapEx for paper? Because, as you mentioned, it takes a little bit longer time to establish the plant. So is the CapEx cost also a bit more higher there?
It's around 75 to 85 crores of CapEx would be required for that plant.
Okay, got it. Got it. And sir, next question is on the operating cash flows. If you can just give some number of how much operating cash flow you've generated in the 9 months, first 9 months, and the CapEx for the next 2 years, how that will be funded?
So, majorly all the CapEx is being funded from the internal accruals, because we are generating enough cash now from the business to fund the entire CapEx. So only thing is that in case of increased requirement of the working capital, so that is being slightly funded from the debt. Otherwise, all the CapEx is being funded from the internal accruals. So, whatever CapEx we are doing for the existing verticals, 70 to 80 crores per year, and the CapEx in the new verticals, which is approximately 200 to 250 crores in next 3 years. So all this, we are planning to, so we are not increasing any debt because of this CapEx, so we are doing it internally.
Okay, sir. And lastly, on the procurement of the raw material, of the scrap that you mentioned, has increased by 12% this quarter. So can you give a number, how much proportion is the total domestic scrap right now, in the overall scheme?
So, domestic scrap is currently 42-43% of the total scrap requirement in India. So, that is being sourced from India at this moment. But so this is because whenever we increase the capacity also in India, so that is also slightly percentage proportion is sometimes reduced, but on an absolute basis, it is continuously increasing.
So that will increase to how much in next 2 years, sir?
So, like we are just 5% of the total Indian scrap, which is available in India. So, which should be close to 3 times from now, from in next 2 to 3 years, it should be close to 3 times whatever we are sourcing, approximately 60,000 tons a year. So that should be approximately 180,000 tons in next 3 years.
Okay, got it, sir. I'll come back in the queue for anything else. Thanks a lot and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we go ahead, ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants, we request you to please limit your questions to two per participant. The next question is from the line of Abhijit Sinha from Pi Square Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. I just wanted to understand about the plastics division. It's been one-
I'm sorry to interrupt, Mr. Sinha. Your volume is a little low. If you could please speak closer to the mic.
Am I audible?
Yes, this is much better, sir.
Yes, perfect. So our plastic segment has come down this quarter. Are we expecting it to be one of our growing ones, or is just a supplementary segment for us?
So, actually, the plastic has faced certain, I mean, the American market or the U.S. market is currently not performing up to the mark, and most of our capacities are there in the Central America. So because of that, we have faced certain problems in getting enough raw material for our plastic plants in that region. But we believe this is a temporary phase, and eventually, as U.S. market is recovering, we will start performing better in plastic in that market. And also the effect of EPR has yet to take place in India, which has already taken place in lead recycling, but it has yet to start in the Indian market for the plastic recycling. Once that starts happening, probably the volume will increase much faster in the future.
So, Perfect, sir. So ideally, as a percentage of our revenues, do we look at it to be a 5 to 6% normally?
Sorry?
Going forward, do we expect this to be about 5 to 6% of our net revenues?
No, in the near quarters, probably next 2 quarters, yes, around 7 to 8%. But in going forward, probably if you ask me 1 year from now, it will grow at double digit numbers minimum.
Perfect. And so over here, the margins have also increased substantially, right? So though we've got 10 crores less, but our EBIT, I can say, revenue that has come from the segment has been higher. So is there any particular reason for the margin increase?
Margin? Margin increase is from?
In the plastic segment.
Yeah, it is still same. I mean, the margins have not increased. It is the same as previous margins.
Okay. Because it's showing about 5 crore we've got in the EBIT segment. In the EBIT level, we've got plastics from this year versus last quarter was about 2 CR. That's the reason. Perfect, sir. And so now with the aluminum prices going down further, what kind of margins are we expecting in the next quarter and going forward?
So aluminum, in the last year, there were exceptional margins because of higher price and because we are not hedged in aluminium, so we reap some benefits out of that. But aluminium would keep on giving 18,000 to 19,000 rupees per ton of margins going forward also. That is sustainable margins. So we stick by that number, and we will continue to get that number because most of the volumes in aluminium comes from overseas markets, which gives us higher EBITDA margins.
Perfect, sir. So now if the price is further correct in aluminium, so where will it show? It will show in the other income segment, right? Going forward?
So other income shows the profit that we get, profit or loss that we get from hedging metal. So most of that is for the lead segment because we are hedging most in lead segment and only partially in aluminium segment.
Okay, sir.
So most of that is around 66 crores from other income is on account of gain from hedging, which is mostly in the lead segment.
Okay, sir. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we request you to restrict your questions to 2 per participant. The next question is from the line of Dipanshu Jain from Hem Securities Limited. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. First of all, congratulations for great set of numbers. My first question is, it is expected that government will announce a policy of 3500 CR for recycling lithium-ion batteries in the Union Budget. So, what are our expectations from Union Budget that may be beneficial for the company?
Okay. So, this lithium-ion battery manufacturing PLI has been announced at this stage. In our country, as of now, there is no manufacture of lithium-ion cell. The government has announced manufacturing of cells. As of now, whosoever claims to be manufacturer, they are basically assemblers and collecting lithium-ion cells and then assembling them and converting into battery. So battery, complete manufacturing from cell to battery, that is part of PLI. So recycling has not been given any incentive as of now, though the industry is asking.
Okay, sir. Okay. And sir, my second question is, what are our debt reduction plans?
So, currently, the debt is approximately 315 crores. But going forward, as we already told that there will be no increase in debt because of the capex. So, there may be some increase of debt because of the increased requirement of the working capital. But we are consciously taking the debt within the parameters of debt equity of 0.75 and the debt EBITDA of 1.5. So within these parameters, whatever we are very comfortable on that taking some short-term debt for the increased requirement of the working capital due to the increase in business. But going forward, we are open to take some additional capital by way of QIB also. And but in case of debt also, the short-term debt is 100% hedged because the it is against the inventory, and inventory is 100% hedged in our case. So it is not, we don't consider it as a risk of taking any additional debt, but we are very conscious on taking incremental debt within these parameters.
Okay. And sir, my last question is, can you share your view on lead, aluminium and plastic prices for near term?
Please, can you repeat the question, please?
Yeah, sure, sir. Sir, can you share your view on lead, aluminium and plastic prices for near term?
It's a very difficult question, actually. It depends a lot of issues. I think if the China opens up, there are chances of the prices increasing. But in any case, we try to remain neutral in terms of metal prices. So it will not impact us that much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, sir.
The next question is from the line of Asta Sundarka from Niveshaay. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, you're audible.
Yes. Good afternoon, sir, and congratulations on good set of numbers. So my first question is that the scrap procured outside is much cheaper than the domestic scrap, right? So what is the reason behind it? And if you could also tell me the price difference for the same.
Yeah, so actually what happens in India is that there is a tax, GST on scrap. So most of the scrap goes to the unorganized sector, and therefore the prices of scrap has gone up. Because this informal sector does not pay those taxes, so that is why they are much more competitive than the formal sector. That is one reason of price going up in the Indian market. But with this new policy of battery waste management rules, now the government has put the onus on the brand owners to start collecting the scrap. So this will make it easier for formal companies to set up their own yards in India and then collect on behalf of those battery manufacturers, which will reduce the prices of scrap to the formal sector in India going forward.
Oh, got it, sir. And next question is that Amara Raja is setting up its own recycling facility. Exide also has its own plant. And likewise, other battery manufacturers can also backward integrate. So how this is going to affect your business?
So basically, Exide always had this recycling plants for the past so many years. And as I mentioned, that if you look at the gap between the capacities available in the organized sector and the total potential for the organized sector, there is a huge gap. So even if they bring up their own factories, there still will be huge opportunities for organized recyclers like Gravita. That is one part. And the second part is that you still cannot manage the entire Indian subcontinent by putting up just a single plant. So you need to have plant across India on pan-India basis, because taking scrap from one place to another has huge logistic cost. So it will be very difficult for any company to backward integrate these plants, because eventually they have a battery plant at one location. So, for example, for Amara Raja to source batteries in the north and then bring it back to their own plant would be very difficult. So they would need recyclers who have plants in north, where we can source on their behalf, process it in the factory in north, and then supply it to some other customer. And similarly, we can have a plant in south, where we collect that battery in south and give it to Amara Raja. So that equation will always help recyclers with pan-India presence.
Okay, got it, sir. And one last question. So you said that paper recycling that is going to come up later. So how much asset turnover can we expect on that?
Yeah, asset turnover is approximately 7 to 8x in case of paper.
Okay, that's it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Piyush Mehta from Caprice Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes,
yeah, Piyush.
Congratulations, Sunilji, Yogeshji, and the team for again a very steady set of numbers. Glad
Thank
to
you.
See that.
Thank you, Bhaiji.
You've been walking the talk over the last 6 to 8 quarters. So quickly, the question. So of course, you know, we've discussed the aluminium EBITDA pattern, etc., and you mentioned that lead contribution would be falling to 75%, and I believe since we've expanded capacity on aluminium side in international business, that portion will go higher. So, you know, and the EBITDA per ton for aluminium is far more volatile than it is for lead. So how do we keep that volatility in check?
So what we are doing is that actually there are two parts to the aluminium business that we do. One part is where we are trading in pure aluminium derivatives like aluminium can scrap, etc. So there the hedging can be done, and we are doing hedging on that part. The other business is for alloys for aluminium, alloys of aluminium, where currently there is no, system in place or process in place where we can hedge that. But we have already applied for a derivative of those alloys to be registered in MCX, and it is still under process at the SEBI level. So hopefully, in future, probably in a couple of quarters, we would start trading those derivatives also. That will then kind of hedge the risk of volatility in aluminium also.
Understood. And on the Mundra plant side, you know, how is the capacity expansion or utilization shaping up? Because I believe there was some delay in terms of setting up, in terms of our execution timeline, because of rains or whatever the issues we had. So how is the Mundra part shaping up?
Yeah, so Mundra capacity is almost 96% utilization we are doing at this moment. And we have just expanded the capacities in Mundra, where we are waiting for the license to start from the relevant authorities. And after that, we will start using that capacities which we have expanded in Mundra. So there is two parts of expansion. One is the expansion which we have shifted from Gandhidham to Mundra, so that is one. And in addition to that, we have also expanded the capacities in Mundra, where we are waiting for the license for both the things.
Post this entire getting new licenses plus current, what will be the total capacity for Mundra?
So the total capacity at Mundra will be 60,000 tons per annum.
Okay.
This includes the capacities that will be shifted from...
So 19,000 capacity will be shifted from Gandhidham to Mundra, and then additional 20,000 tons.
Completely exports.
Yeah. So majorly it is import of scrap and export.
Understood. And last question, on the competitive landscape side, you know, within India, on the organized side, I'm sure everybody is trying. I think what you guys have cracked is, you know, sourcing of the scrap piece, and I'm sure everybody is trying to do the same. So within the Indian organized lead recycling space, who are the top 2-3 players, or how is the competition shaped up over the last couple of years, or how do you see it shaping up over the next 2 years as well?
No, in fact, in informal sector, Gravita is the only company who has a pan-India base across India.
Right.
But there are 3-4 other recycling companies are there. Those are operating into the regional basis.
Yes.
That is one of that Pondioxide.
Yes.
Second is Nile.
Yes.
And third is Pilot Industries. So these are the regional companies. Those are having the manufacturing base in south and north, and few small companies in eastern part of India.
But when we look at organized, are we one of the largest or top three? Because not all will be listed though.
Like it, among other than Gravita, Nile and Pondioxide is a listed company, and Pilot and Industries is not the listed company. But they are the only 5-6 companies. Those are operating in the fully in full sense of a formal operation.
Most of them have also announced capex capacity expansion, right?
Not yet. Like Pondi and Nile, they are the listed companies, so they have not done any kind of capex in case of lead recycling. Nile has not done any kind of capex since last 5 to 6 years. It is stagnant on that particular phase.
Do you have any view on the
Sorry, if I interrupt, sir. Maybe we ask you to rejoin the queue for further questions.
Sure.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks.
We have the next question from the line of Tushar Sarda from Athena Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. I just needed a small clarification. Your EBITDA per ton, which you have mentioned in this quarter's presentation for the previous quarter, doesn't match with the EBITDA per ton which was given in the previous quarter. For example, on lead, last quarter you reported 19,214. And this quarter you are saying 17,213 is Q2. So if you can just clarify why this difference in the number.
Yeah, so there was, this was clarified in the last call also. So there was some printing mistake of Q2 EBITDA per ton number. So that was printed erroneously, but that was the Q2 number was for lead, it was 17,200 instead of 19,000. So,
I should take what you reported this quarter as the correct number, right?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. So, okay. In last quarter also, yeah, we have clarified this mistake.
Okay, okay, okay. Maybe I missed it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Muhammad Sufyan Lakdawala from Lalkar Securities. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello?
Yes, sir, please go ahead.
Yes,
your line has been unmuted.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Sorry to interrupt, sir. You are inaudible. If you could please speak closer to the mic.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Please go ahead, sir.
Hello?
Yes, please.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah. So, what capacity you expand in 425,000 metric tons by 2026? So, what will be the peak revenue you can do from this capacity?
So, the peak level utilization we can go up to 75 to 80%, close to 80%. So,
that's a consistent level. I mean, so maybe in a quarter, probably even achieve a higher capacity utilization of say 90% also sometimes, but. On a sustainable level, around 75 to 80%.
What revenue potential from the same?
So revenue 8 to 9x of the total capex that we do.
So we are planning to do a capex of approximately 500 crores in next 2 to 3 years, so which can generate revenue of 8 to 9x out of this capex, additional revenue.
Okay, and right now we have the capacity of around 28,000 metric tons, right?
228,000 tons.
So I guess what the volume growth guidance you have given of 25%.
25%, yes.
Yeah. So I guess for FY
25. So 25% volume growth is for the existing verticals, and then there is a additional growth in terms of new verticals like paper recycling, steel recycling, copper recycling, rubber recycling. So all these new verticals will add to this 25% growth.
Oh, okay. And is this margin sustainable? Or yes, likely?
Yes, yes, margin is sustainable. Yeah, margin is currently 9%. So, although we are focused on part-time EBITDA basis, but yes, it should be close to 9%.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tushar Ragatate from Kamakya Wealth Management Private Limited. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir, and congratulations for your great set of numbers. So my question is on the three division of yours. So what would be the capacity utilization of all the three divisions? And you're doing CapEx on all the three divisions. What would be the payback period for the same?
Yeah, so... Payback period for us is dependent on the geography where we are doing the capacity expansion. So like in case of overseas, we focus it to be less than 2 years. But in case of India, we focus it to be less than 3 years. So, and the capacity utilization on a global basis for the 9 months, it is approximately 65%. But if we see if on a division basis, it is 70% in case of lead, approximately 45% in case of aluminium, and 45% in case of plastic.
Fair enough, sir. Sir, on the lithium ion thing, so basically I understand it will take time for the lithium ion batteries to come for recycling. So are we looking for any technical collaboration for the same in future?
Yes, yes. We've already mentioned that we are looking for a technical collaboration.
because currently there is no technology in India. Nobody is recycling lithium ion batteries as it should be recycled. So they are only making partially doing some process and making black mass out of that. But a consolidated complete technology is still not there in India. So we are in discussion with certain technology providers from Europe, from Japan, and from Israel. And we will try to finalize one of these in near future.
Fair enough, sir. Thank you. All the best, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone phones at this time. We will take the next question from the line of Keshav from Raksan Investors. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the follow-up. So, sir, as we are projecting 25% kind of ROCs, I guess a big part is because we have a 10x kind of asset turn and our overall working capital cycle also should come down with more organized shift. But when I look at a peer of ours, which is a PET bottle recycler, their ROCs can be volatile because of a sizable fixed asset contribution. So I can understand that lead is asset light for us, and even if there are corrections in lead prices, we are hedged and decent ROCs should be there even at lower prices as your inventory cost also comes down. But directionally, when we scale and lead contributions go down, do we still believe that the ex-lead business would have as sustainable ROCs as the lead business?
So basically, if you look at our ROCs coming from different verticals like lead, aluminium, and plastic, it's on the similar line. So all three of them are asset light, partially because we also provide turnkey solutions. So we have our project divisions where we develop, design, and fabricate these recycling plants. So for these verticals and also for rubber, we have seen that it's on similar lines. But of course, when we go into other technologies like lithium ion and paper, there it would be a little different. But there, again, we are looking at probably higher revenues coming from per ton or higher margins coming from on per ton basis to cover for the lower, revenues coming from per crore of capex. So, for example, for paper, although the revenue would not be 8x or 9x, it would be lower, but the margins would be higher.
Okay, sir. So, basically, sir, we are choosing the asset-light subsection of a particular vertical. So,
yes.
Wherever in plastics, we would not go into PET flakes, but we will choose something that can have very high asset turns.
No. So, PET flakes also will go wherever there is an opportunity of going in volume terms. So wherever we have certainty in terms of availability of raw material, we would go in for PET flakes also. And we are in PET flakes business for the past 3-4 years. So it's also on a similar lines.
Understood, sir. Understood. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhavin Chheda from Enam Holdings. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Congrats on a good set of numbers. This 500 crores capex you mentioned would be from 24 to 26, right? Over and above the current year capex.
Yeah, over and above. So current year capex is around 80 crores so far, and we expect it to spend around 25 crores more in the next three months.
Okay, and 500 crores will be from next year onwards till 26 to reach capacity of 4,25,000, right?
Correct. Out of which around 250 crore would be for existing verticals, and another 200 to 250 crores would be for new verticals.
Okay. And so for new and existing, both will start simultaneously, or the new verticals is back-ended and existing verticals, which is more simpler for you, is front-ended?
Existing verticals will happen in a phased manner throughout these 3 years, whereas for new verticals, of course, it will be dependent on when we put up a new plant. So, for example, as I mentioned that for lithium ion, probably it will be after we tie up a pilot project, and then when we want to scale it up, it would probably come at the end of the second year or third year. Whereas if we talk about paper, it will probably come next year itself. So it will not be in a phased manner. It will be dependent on the project that we undertake. whereas the existing would be in a phased manner throughout these 3 years, almost consistently across these 3 years.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Gunjan Kabra from Niveshaay. Please go ahead. Mr. Kabra, the line for you has been unmuted. Please check if the line has been unmuted from your end as well.
Am I audible, sir?
Yes. Yes, you are audible, ma'am.
Yeah.
Please go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. So thank you for the opportunity and congratulations for a good steady state of numbers. So I wanted to understand the industry working, how does it work from the point of view that we are expanding into a lot of products and recycling. So like copper, steel, paper, apart from the core business, which is lead and plastic. What is our outlook for next 3 to 4 years or 5 years? Because recycling as a team is pretty interesting. So do we get any synergy benefits because we have a large sourcing network? Because technicalities and working capital requirements for different orders would be different. So how does that work? Are we trying to become a one-stop solution kind of for recycling units, or how is it? Is what I wanted to understand.
Yeah. So what we are looking at is there should be synergies in the supply chain or probably at the customer end, consumer end. So when you look at our current 3-4 verticals like plastic, aluminium, and lead, and in future we are planning to go into copper. So there are synergies in terms of operations also, and also from the supply chain point of view, there are synergies which we have started tracking since we started going into verticals other than lead, and we believe that that will help us in putting up other sectors also, because again it's a CapEx light model and we are into this project divisions where we design and develop these products. So there is not much difference when you go into different metals. And then there are synergies in terms of the geographies that we are present in. So for example, we are present in Africa where we are sourcing yards. And there are countries which are landlocked where they generate a lot of scrap, but all that scrap goes out of those countries. And then they import a lot of finished products into those countries. So when we are sitting there, we see these opportunities and then strategically we work on those strategies. So both steel and paper come out of that synergy because we are present in those geographies and we see the opportunities there. So all in all, it's not something that is just out of the blue that we are talking about. We work on these. So what exactly we do is we set up a yard first. We start producing those materials. We start looking at the market first. Whether we will be able to market those products and would it be profitable in the long run. Only after we realize that yes, that makes sense and we can procure as much material as we want to recycle and we have a market for that recycle, we go into that segment. So we started like this for plastic also and like this for aluminium also. And currently we are working on paper and steel in the same manner. So and we see huge opportunities in this segment.
Thank you. Sir, the line for the current participant in the queue seems to have disconnected. We will move on with the next question, sir. Before we go to the next question, I would like to remind the participants that they may press star and one on their touchtone phones to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Astha Sundarka from Niveshaay. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon again.
Good afternoon.
My question to you is that increasing demand in EVs would lead to increase in the usage of lithium ion batteries. Although lead acid batteries would also be used, but they will be in smaller sizes. So don't you think that this will reduce the demand for recycled lead in future, because more than 60% of the demand comes from the automotive industry?
Yeah, so actually, as I mentioned, especially in India, first of all, it will take some time for this demand to go down, especially in the developing world that we are working in. If you look at the areas where our operation is mostly in Africa and to some extent in India. Even in India, as I mentioned that around 75% of the market is currently in the unorganized sector. If you if you talk about the shift from unorganized to organized sector, that itself gives you a huge impetus to start recycling. I mean, so there is enough market size available for us. Even if in future the lead acid battery requirements will go down, if we assume that everything will be converted into EVs, which is probably a little difficult. And that said, that is why we are going into other verticals like aluminium and plastic. So to reduce our reliance on recycling of lead acid batteries only. The third part is that currently the ecosystem for lithium ion batteries would be similar to the ecosystem that is there for lead acid battery. So what will happen is that this will give us opportunity to go into lithium ion batteries also. So because the collection system would be similar, the OEMs would be similar. So it's just an extension of what we are doing. Only the technology is different. So once we acquire that technology, we would in fact enjoy growth from lithium ion battery recycling also.
And further to add this, there will be shift in applications. Means if auto sector use more of EV battery and less of lead acid battery, the purchasing power of people is increasing in the country, and as of now we have very less penetration of you can say inverter or UPS in each household. So as of now we have all gadgets where we need uninterrupted power, let's say Wi-Fi and all. So everybody will be having one battery backup at all homes. If you see that number, that shift will be going to automotive to such applications.
But you feel, you know, that automotive demand can decrease in future if EVs are adopted comparatively.
In every automotive, there is already a battery is there. So yeah, it is not going to make it zero. But as of now there is a shortage, so the other applications are not affordable. See, as of now each household doesn't have power backup. But in time to come, when we have everything dependent on Internet of Things, so there has to be uninterrupted power to each home down the villages. As of now, even in cities also, nobody uses these backup power. So shift will be there on industrial or backup power usage. They won't be shifted by lithium-ion batteries.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments.
Thank you everyone for participating in this call. We are certain that by pursuing new opportunities, we will continue to expand in the future and achieve our clear vision for 2026. We hope that we have answered all your queries. In case of any unanswered queries, please feel free to reach out to our investor relations team. Thank you all once again.
Thank you. On behalf of Emkay Global Financial Services, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.